Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue in our study of commentaries on the Quran. Let me remind you that today we'll continue with the miracles of Prophet Elisha. That is the true prophet of God as we read it in the second book of Kings. That is to compare Prophet Elisha to the self-proclaimed prophet of Islam, Muhammad, who did not perform any miracles or even give a prophecy to have the right to own the title of prophet. In our last program, we covered four of the miracles of Prophet Elisha. As we know, he is supposed to have the double portion of the spirit, the power of Prophet Elijah. Let's continue our study to see what else Prophet Elisha performed in his life and even after his death. Let's examine together miracle number five in the life of the prophet of God, Prophet Elisha, as we read that written in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. For there we read, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. In verse 3, we read, then he, that is Prophet Elisha, said, go, borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. What a great miracle. From a little oil, that widow was able to fill all the empty vessels which she borrowed from her neighbors. And when she sold all that oil, she was able to pay her debt and to make enough money that she and her two sons can live in peace. God the provider used his prophet, Prophet Elisha, to perform such great miracle to satisfy the needs of that widow. Notice the similarity between the miracles of Prophet Elijah and the miracle of Prophet Elisha. For the last miracle Prophet Elijah performed before he was ascended to heaven was he literally divided the water of the Jordan River by his mantle, and he was able to cross on dry land. And that was the first miracle Prophet Elisha did, and that was the evidence that he received the spirit of Prophet Elijah. Also, in the case of Prophet Elijah, he was able to provide for the woman who took care of him during the time of the famine with the little oil and the little flour, and they all lived, she, her son, and Prophet Elijah, until the rain came back with hardly nothing to start with. And here we saw Prophet Elisha performing a similar miracle. It is involved with oil and the need of that widow as well. Let's move on to miracle number 6, which we read in verse 8. In 2 Kings chapter 4, now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was
a notable woman,
and she persuaded him
to eat some food. So it was as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. In verse 9, we read, and she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passed by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." And it happened one day
that he, that is Prophet Elisha, came there,
and he turned in
to the upper room
and lay down there. In verse 12, we read, "Then he, that is Prophet Elisha, said to Gehazi, his servant, 'Call this Shunammite woman.' When he had called her, she stood before him, and he said to him, 'Say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?' She answered, 'I dwell among my own people.'" In verse 14, we read, "So he, that is Prophet Elisha, said, 'What then is to be done for her?' And Gehazi answered," actually, "she had no son, and her husband is old. So he, that is Prophet Elisha, said, 'Call her.' When he, that is Gehazi, the servant of Prophet Elisha, had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he, that is Prophet Elisha, said, 'About this time next year, you shall embrace a son.' And she said, 'No, my lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant.'" But in verse 17, we read, "But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her." Once again, here we see a miracle in fulfillment of a prophecy. That woman and her husband, who welcomed Prophet Elisha and his servant Gehazi,
and they regularly
hosted them in their home, feeding and drinking and a place to sleep. When the prophet of God, the man of God Elisha, desired to bless her back, and she did not request anything of him, that is, if she would needed a favor from the king or of the leaders of the army, Gehazi realized that she did not have a son. And that's when Prophet Elisha prophesied that she will have a son
when he visits her the next year.
And she first doubted that this could be by literally telling him, "No, my lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant." But obviously,
when a true prophet speaks,
they don't lie. The opposite of the story of Muhammad, which all Muslims know and believe in, and they could not find anything wrong with it. Muhammad taught the Muslim believers it is lawful to lie in three cases: a man to his wife,
that she will be pleased with him,
or to the enemies, because war is deception, and
with man's friends, to make peace between them.
Which means in Islam, it is lawful to lie to your own wives, to your enemies, and to your friends. That is, actually, it is lawful to lie to everybody. But here we see the true prophet of God, Prophet Elisha, have spoken the truth to that woman, not to make her feel good about herself, no, but he is bringing a blessing to her.
This woman has an old husband,
and she have no children. And now the promise of God, through the prophecy
of his servant, Prophet Elisha,
that she will have a son. And behold, in the right time, as he has prophesied, she became pregnant, and she held between her arm her own son.
This was miracle number 6. And now
let's move on to see what else happened to that son, as we continue to read in verse 18. "And the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father to the reapers, and he said to his father, 'My head, my head.' So he said to a servant, 'Carry him to his mother.' When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died." What a terrible thing that woman lived all her life not having a child, and the prophet of God, Prophet Elisha, promised her that child, and that child came, and that child now is dead.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicki@thestraightway.org. That's Vicki spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
Now, let us see what the Shunammite woman did, as we read in verse 21 of 2 Kings chapter 4. "And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, 'Please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come back.'" In verse 23 we read, "So he," that is the woman's husband, "said, 'Why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath,'" because that is the time where people visit the man of God to give gifts. "And she said, 'It is well.'" She obviously here did not tell her husband that their son, the gift of God through prophet Elisha, is dead. We continue to read in verse 24. "Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, 'Drive and go forward, and do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you.' And so she departed and went to the man of God at the Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant Gehazi, 'Look, the Shunammite woman.'" In verse 26 we read, "Please run now to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?' And she answered, 'It is well.' Now, when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by his feet, but Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, 'Let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me.'" In verse 28 we read, "So she said, 'Did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me?'" In verse 29 we read, "Then he," that is prophet Elisha, "said to Gehazi, 'Get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child.'" In verse 30 we read, "And the mother of the child said, 'As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So he arose and followed her." Now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, "The child has not awakened." In verse 32 we read, "Then Elisha came into the house. There was the child laying dead on his bed. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands,
And he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. In verse 35, we read, he, that is prophet Elisha, returned and walked back and forth in the house, and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. In verse 36, we read, and he, that is prophet Elisha, called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite woman. So he called her, and when she came in to him, he said, pick up your son. In verse 37, we read, so she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out.
And this was miracle number 7.
What do we see in that miracle?
First of all, we see the similarity between Prophet Elijah and Prophet Elisha. For in the miracles of Prophet Elijah, which is written in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 17 and verses 22 and 23, we know that Prophet Elijah raised the widow's son from the dead. And here we see Prophet Elisha raising that woman's child from the dead as well. And that took place as the prophet of God, Prophet Elisha, prayed to God.
Yes, we read in the scripture that he prayed to God. For the prophet of God can perform miracles by simply acknowledging God in a prophecy or praying to God and God answer his prayer. Like what Muhammad tried to say about Isa, son of Mary, that yes, Isa raised the dead. But he did it not by his own strength, but he did it by the permission of Allah. And we may say that happened in some cases in the Bible. But in other cases, we see the miracle happened without prayer, as we will be seeing in the last miracle performed by Prophet Elisha. He raised another dead man without any prayer. And we'll discover then why he did not pray in the second miracle of raising another dead man back to life. But here we see Prophet Elisha praying to God, and God answered his prayer. And that miracle gift child, which was given by God through Prophet Elisha to that woman and her husband, now is back to life. And once again, she worshiped God, acknowledging that that man, the prophet of God, Elisha, is the man of God. Not only because he prophesied to her and to her husband that they will have a child, but because he even performed another miracle. That is when God answered his prayer and raised her son back to life, and she was able to have him back. And that was miracle number 7. Now let's move on together to miracle number 8. And that is what we read in the book of 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 38 to verse 41. For in verse 38 we read, now Elijah returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. Now the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he, that is prophet Elisha, said to his servant, that is Gehazi, put on a large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets. In verse 39 we read, so one went out into the field and gathered herbs and found a wild vine and gathered from it a lapful of wild gourds, and came and sliced them into the pot of stew, though they did not know what they were. In verse 40 we read, then they served it to the men to eat. Now it happened as they were eating the stew that they cried out and said, men of God, there is death in the pot, and they could not eat it. In verse 41 we read, so he, that is prophet Elisha, said, then bring some flour. And he put it into the pot and said, serve it to the people that they may eat. And there was nothing harmful in the pot. Gehazi, the servant of the prophet of God, prophet Elisha, served the meal by adding some vegetables or some herbs in it. And it was bad to the point that when the people start eating from it, they cried out, there is death, it must be tastes very bad or causes some sickness just as they put it in their mouth. But here is a miracle. The prophet of God, prophet Elisha, just added flour. He did not dump all the food out and start all fresh. He just simply added flour to the pot. And the same food was eaten and there was no harm in it at all. That is a great miracle. And that was miracle number 9. Let's move on to the last 3 verses of 2 Kings chapter 4 to read about miracle number 9. For in verse 42 of 2 Kings chapter 4, we read, "Then a man came from Beersheliza and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley bread, and newly ripened grain in his knapsack. And he," that is prophet Elisha, "said, 'Give it to the people that they may eat.' But his servant said, 'What shall I set this before 100 men? He," that is prophet Elisha, "said again, 'Give it to the people that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over.'" In verse 44 we read, "So he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over, according to the word of the Lord." What a great miracle, which obviously reminds us of the great miracles which our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ has performed. That is the feeding of the 4,000 people and the 5,000 men with little fish and a few pieces of bread. It is a blessing that God, the great provider, can provide the little and use it to satisfy the need of many. That was miracle number 9 for prophet Elisha, the feeding of the 100 men out of simply 20 pieces of barley bread. What a great difference between the prophet of God, the true man of God, prophet Elisha, and the man who claimed to be a prophet by the name Muhammad, who once again never performed any miracles and never prophesied about anything. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.